on navigating life as a dry millennial.
Hi, I'm Katie, and I've been alcohol-free for 316 days.
Hi, I'm Kaylee, and I have been alcohol-free for 406 days.
Dude, that's a long time.
I know. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I think I'm doing well. You know, it's Saturday night, so I feel like the week has caught up with me and I'm a little burnt out, but yeah. Overall I feel pretty good. I'm excited for tonight to chill. Like, my whole day today, I did everything I wanted, so it felt really good. What about you?
That's awesome. I definitely hear you on feeling the burnout. I've been feeling really burnt out at work lately, and just like I cannot get caught up and have been feeling really busy. So I'm glad that I had this weekend to chill. I've been pretty much on the couch all day today and didn't go to the grocery store, put some stuff off that I'm going to take care of tomorrow. But yeah, I feel hopeful, which is nice. Like, I know that even though I have to work on Monday, that, I don't know.
You had time for you that you got to be intentional with, right?
Yes. Yeah. And it's also really important that I have a low-key week this week because I have to spend time with family soon.
Oh, yeah, dude. We have to recharge before we get to Thanksgiving week.
Yeah. So I said no to a couple things that people asked me to do this weekend just because I knew that I needed to get some shit done and I didn't want to feel rushed. That's something that is probably my biggest pet peeve, is when I feel rushed. It just is a super huge trigger for me getting really stressed out and having like a panic attack. So, I just wanted to be low key and chill today.
Dude, can I just say that my like personality type and who I am, like part of like even my Enneagram, is like I have a fear of feeling like people think I am rushed.
Oh.
And like sloppy and unorganized and not put together, but I am rushed. Like, I have a sense of urgency. Like, I work in a fucking trauma ER. It's like, I absolutely do not need to be everywhere all the time as fast as I possibly can. You know what I mean?
I totally get that, though, because sometimes I have to step outside when things are feeling really crazy with work and be like, I'm just in advertising. Like, we're just selling shit, you know what I mean? Like, we're just helping people sell shit. It really doesn't matter. But I think it's hard when your clients or other people in your life make it seem that way, and it feels like do or die, and our like lizard brains are, you know, not evolved to understand that stress is coming from something that's insignificant versus a fight, like, what is it, like, fight or flight situation.
Fight or flight. So, right. Yes, 100%.
Yeah. So, it's tough.
Yeah, definitely. So, this week I felt rushed. Like, I feel like I wrote things down on my calendar, but didn't. And so, I didn't schedule accordingly and I didn't give myself enough time between things. You know how it is. And then by the end of the week, you're just like, okay, I'm done. So next week, I'm in the same boat as you, Kaylee. I have like no plans after work besides Monday, double date night on Monday. So that'll be fun. But otherwise, we're chilling before Thanksgiving week.
One new thing that I've been doing in my calendar is I have like a really big long list of work things I need to get done. And then the other side is personal things. So anything I'm thinking of, because I am always afraid that things are going to leave my brain. So I'll be like, I want to schedule a girls retreat with my friends. I need to call Michelle. I need to make sure that I am canceling this bank account that I no longer need. I need to do laundry. I need to drop stuff off to Goodwill. And so it gets so overwhelming so fast because the list gets really long. So that I don't forget anything. So anytime something pops up in my head, I'm like, oh shit, I have to write it down.
Oh my gosh. Kaylee, I make a list before I do the things. Like, you know what I mean? I always tell you, like, oh, I make a list for my Saturday, but that's just on Friday night. I should write shit down throughout the week. I never do.
It's hard though, because it gets so overwhelming that you look at it and you're just like, oh fuck no. Like, there's no way I'm going to get any of this stuff done.
I'm actually just going to watch TV tonight. That's how it would make me feel.
Yeah, and I just have to be okay with transferring the same thing over and over and over again. And that's its own tactic too, because then you can be like, I'm so fucking sick of writing down that I need to call this bank for the past 5 weeks. I'm just finally going to. Yeah, you do it because you get annoyed. But I've been doing like, okay, what does the rest of my week look like? And then making sure I only have like one or two things after work.
That's awesome.
I also, this past week, have gone to the gym multiple times. And I went on Friday morning at 7 a.m. when it was raining. And I really didn't think that I was going to.
Hell yeah.
But it was amazing. It felt so good. I was so proud of myself. And it's definitely something I want to do more because my day was awesome.
That's amazing. I'm so excited for you. And I'm so excited that you're like acknowledging that for yourself, you know?
Yeah. So I just can't do it all. And I get so frustrated when I can't. Like, I can't go to the gym and have all of our meals prepped and do, like, there's a pile of clothes on my bed right now. That's been going from like chair to bed for a couple of days. So it's also just prioritizing like what can you get done that day? What are things that you have control over? And trying not to beat myself up that I don't know the last time I vacuumed and my clothes are probably dirty just from existing like on the bed and on the chair. So yeah, whatever.
I feel that. We talk about that a lot in the sense of like what's on the front burner and what's on the back burner. Like there's still priorities to you, but you're just going to have to get to them after you've given attention to what your focus is this week. And I think a weekly cycle for that is a really healthy way to touch everything that you want and still have something that's, you know, first on the list at all times as well.
Yeah, for sure. So exercise was definitely first on my list this week, just because it made me feel so good and because I'm doing a 2-week trial of a workout class that's usually pretty expensive. So I'm trying to get in as much as I can. And that's really motivating, too. So,
dude, I cannot tell you how many times I've done that with gyms and I love it. And it always gets me hooked or not, you know? I can tell by the amount that I'm going and how much I'm prioritizing it, whether or not it's an investment I'm excited to make. So I definitely did that with Orange Theory. With Orange Theory, you only get one free class.
This wasn't free for 2 weeks. It was $150 for 2 weeks. So,
oh my God.
But I asked for a gift card for that for my birthday. So that helped. That was nice.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, but really that's the going rate for like boutique fitness businesses. What would you call that?
And I am hooked. And this has been such a long journey. Like I've done personal training. I've done the 21 day fix. I've done, I have
CrossFit.
I have a knockoff Peloton bike at my house. I've done.
You go to the climbing gym?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And I go to the climbing gym. And so I've done a lot and I've found that you really have to try a lot of different things to figure out what gets you excited. And I loved the weightlifting aspect of CrossFit, but I would be so sore and in so much pain because I would try and push myself as much as humanly possible. And so I would only go once a week.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So it is expensive, but especially saving money, not drinking, which we talked about last episode, I am hoping that I can make it work. So I'm going to try because I am hooked. I'm obsessed.
Good for fucking you. I'm stoked about that because you know how I feel about community and fitness together. I will probably give group fitness like 40% of the reason that I'm still sober after 316 days.
Yeah.
It was huge for me in my deciding to cut out booze.
Yeah. It's just crazy thinking about a little over a year ago. I was getting off work and stopping by Plaid Pantry and buying a bottle of wine. And from 5:30 to the time I went to bed, I was drinking every night. And now I get off work and I go to a workout class for an hour, and then I stop by Trader Joe's and pick up groceries, and then I come home and eat and watch TV.
And you edit your podcast?
Yeah, it's
totally.
It's cool. A lot has changed.
I'm
still surprising myself. Like, who is she? What is she doing?
Yeah, no, I feel that. I think that we've talked about the, like, not drinking helped me believe in myself so that, like, I feel like I actually deserve to do all of those things that I always thought were for somebody else or that would happen when. You know what I mean? Yeah. I will do that when I do this. And so I feel the same way. A year ago, I probably would have still been going to the gym, or at least trying to. I was kind of getting back into that before I quit.
Yeah.
But I would have got off work, maybe gone to the gym, maybe not, but definitely bought two White Claws at the Shell gas station on Fisher and, on 126 and Green Hill, just in case anyone's listening that knows where that is. and coming home and drinking them and hanging out and just doing whatever, like, every day, though.
Yeah.
It's so fucking wild,
dude. I just thought it would be so much more boring. Like, I thought I would hate not drinking.
Yeah, I don't even think... I haven't done anything recently that I wish I was drunk for, if that makes sense. I don't think I've felt that way for anything. I felt like things would be easier if I was drunk. But, like, for example, Thanksgiving's coming up.
Yes. Yeah.
And family events are a massive trigger for me. We kind of have talked about that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, dude. But I know one thing's for sure. I will enjoy every bite of mashed potatoes this year because I will not be hungover on Thanksgiving. And I'm so stoked about that.
It's one of those things where it's a huge trigger for me too.
Yeah.
I'm really not looking forward to Thanksgiving. And I know that that's the case for a lot of people. And it's, mm-hmm. I know that it's not going to be that bad and it's not that much time, but I'm already kind of dreading it, and I need to put myself in a place that's like, it's going to happen. It's going to be over quick. It'll be fine. It's not going to be that bad, so that I don't make myself miserable for this whole week leading up to Thanksgiving, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. And for me, I have been established in Thanksgiving with my partner for so long now. And finally, we've got to a point where we're like, no expectations. We don't say yes for sure to any invitation. And we always say, if we do say yes, we will stop by during the meal. So we have definitely changed our Thanksgiving traditions. And we usually don't have Iris on Thanksgiving either. But
that's awesome. I feel mm-hmm. so much pressure because it's just me and my grandma and my grandpa and my dad. So it's one of those things where my absence would definitely be missed and would be mm-hmm. something that would hurt their feelings.
Yeah.
And yeah. I have just always done it, and I do love them, and I am super excited to see them, but it is going to be a lot. And having to be in Eugene for Thanksgiving and then an extra day and then the duck game, which is the last one that I'm doing this. It's the last one of the season. So it's just going to be a lot. And I think I'm going to try and look for an Airbnb just so I don't have to sleep on my dad's couch.
Wait, you can come stay with us. We have an extra bed. We have a queen size bed.
Oh my God. A whole bedroom. Oh, because you aren't going to have Iris.
No, come stay.
Oh, okay. I'm going to come. Yeah, I'm going to come hang out at your place. That sounds amazing. Cool.
I'm really glad we just got that. That will make me so happy. And I'll, like, drag you on, like, a morning walk or something before I go to work the next day.
Yes, that sounds good. Maybe I can actually finally play Animal Crossing and I can bring my Switch over and we can play video games.
Oh, I have not got on at my Animal Crossings world in months. In sobriety, early sobriety for anyone listening, get Animal Crossings. It will help keep you booze-free.
Yeah, seriously, it's a really great way to spend your time.
Yes, it was my lifeline.
Yes, yeah, especially early COVID. It came out at the perfect time, but my coworkers are so... I work with really talented designers, so their islands are just fucking awesome, and I'm very uninspired, and yeah, I haven't played since May.
Oh, wow.
And I do want to make time for stuff like that, for stuff that's not super productive. But I always have like a podcast I could be editing, which I love to do, which is super fun. You. Or I'm behind at work because that's always a thing too now. So hopefully over the holidays, I can look forward to that and look forward to seeing my friends who live in Eugene, like Katie. Now I'm way more excited about Thanksgiving.
Yay, I know. That is exciting. And we can have leftovers together even after.
Yes.
Like hang and recap for our days. Ooh, and maybe we can just record like a little tiny baby episode
post-Thanksgiving. Oh, together? That'd be so cute.
Okay, this is so, so exciting. Live, real time, people out there listening.
Yes, yeah, so we are finding solutions in real time because now I'm really excited. And I also think it's going to be so nice to, one, I love sleepovers. I'm obsessed. Mm-hmm. And craving female energy. I live with two dudes. So.
Oh, yeah. No, that's real. I totally hear that. Yes.
I think especially after we both experience whatever we experience with our families, we can sit and talk about it and eat ice cream and decompress. Mm. That sounds awesome.
Yes. Okay, cool. So this week we're talking Thanksgiving. We've already been talking about it. Here we are. So Kaylee, in true Dry Hard Pod fashion.
Yes.
What was Thanksgiving like for you while you were drinking?
Yeah, take a little trip down memory lane. Gosh, so I, you know, mentioned earlier that Thanksgiving is something that I always do with my family, and it's a pretty small thing. We don't usually get too wild. It's not like a party. It's more of like a sit down dinner that makes me feel really tired and I just want to take a nap. But one year when my sister was back from the army, and I'll explain really quickly because this might be confusing. So I went to my ex-stepmom's house, who is the mother of my half-brother, and then she has two kids outside of her relationship with my dad. So my sister is my ex-stepsister, if that makes sense. But anyway, it's just easier to call her my sister. So I went there, and they are really heavy drinkers. Last time Danny met them, he ended up getting trashed. It just happens. Wow. It just happens because they're not stopping drinking, but they have such a high tolerance that in order to keep up, or like what is a normal day in their life is something that would give me alcohol poisoning. So, I remember my sister getting on like Christmas morning, getting Jello shots out of the fridge, I don't know. And it was like,
was it like that when you were younger?
Yes. They were way less strict with me than they were with vice versa. My sister got away with a lot. And so she actually wasn't 21 when this was happening, when she was like doing the Jello shots and drinking. It was very much like, as long as you're in my house and you're not going anywhere, like it's cool.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think I mentioned that my 18th birthday, I had alcohol when I was living at my dad's house. My dad let me try my first beer when I was like 8. So, and he didn't let me drink the whole thing. I didn't want to. I thought it tasted disgusting, but
it's hard as a parent, like now, how I feel about that. You know, Steve and I have always been like, yeah, if you want to try it, you can. Like, but I also feel like we talk about alcohol a lot, especially that I'm sober. We're really open about it in this house. So
yeah,
that's a hard one. I think parents struggle with like, do we let them try it or not? But we definitely don't glorify it.
Yeah.
Clearly.
Yeah. It was so, just such a normal thing. And so yeah, I mentioned the Jello shots on Christmas, so Thanksgiving was very similar, and I remember throwing up in the backyard because everyone was just still up and partying and drinking, and I probably had like 2 bottles of wine, if not more than that, if not that and shots, because a lot of wine was just normal, like day to day, but then when it was a holiday or like a special occasion, it was the opportunity to do new, different fun drinks. So themed cocktails, shots, all of that stuff, Jello shots on top of all of the other regular alcohol. So drinking is something that is definitely really big in that part of my family. And I have actually not really been surprised, but it's been interesting that my family is not supportive of my choice to not drink anymore.
Yeah, well, I think, and I don't know if I have a place here to say that oftentimes when we make the choice not to drink, it the person that's on the receiving end of that message internalizes that choice and then compares themselves to the person not drinking, and then they feel directly attacked.
Right. It feels like every time that I announce it, it's almost like I'm pointing a finger at them, when that's obviously not the case at all. But
right.
And it's, I guess you could call them microaggressions. I mean, nothing to the extent that you could compare that to, you know, other microaggressions in terms of like race and gender and things like that. But right. It's just like it's the small things that they say. Of my ex-stepmom, when I told her that I wasn't drinking, she said, "Even wine?" And I was like, yeah, right? Because for them, it's like wine doesn't even count. It's just hard alcohol. Yeah. So I was like, yeah, even wine. And then my dad, every time that I see him, he's like, "So are you still on the wagon?" And I feel like I have to be like, yeah, you know, I am. It's been about a year and a month now, and he just didn't respond. And I was like, you know, I'm still like smoking weed though. Like I'm giving, like, you know,
to make yourself more human, right? I do that all the time.
Yeah. So,
well, it's interesting that you say that, because I just had a conversation with my mom, and this is just like a sidebar really quickly. I'm doing this like mental health meditation self-help process right now. And one thing I've had to do is reach out to the people who are closest to me and ask them three things about me that they don't care for, or that irk them or make them cringe.
Wow, that's really intense.
Yeah. And so I won't go in depth, but just know that this is like a healthy exercise. This is not a place I would never ask someone in my life that I didn't have clear boundaries with, and they weren't aware of this thing I'm doing, right? Like, I'm being very respectful of that, and then also like closing the door on that. There is no going back to those things. I won't be resentful. Like, this is not about that. This is about people understanding and accepting those things about me as a part of who I am, instead of projecting them, is really important for self-growth and self-love and your authentic self. And so that's why we're diving into it. But I asked my mom.
Oh, no. Oh,
and she's like, "Katie, this is weird." And I was like, "Mom, it's fine." And she's like, "No, this is one of the things. Why do you always do this? Everything's so introspective with you, and you're always digging. It's like always has to be a big deal." And I was like, "Oh, fuck you." No, I told her, I said, "Yeah, I get that, you know, yeah, that could be hard for someone else, you know, to handle." And inside I'm like, and that is my biggest fear I've ever felt, is that I'm like too flashy or too this or too that, you know what I mean?
It's hard to hear a woman tell another woman that they're too much in any capacity, because you're not.
Yes. And my mom, she genuinely is then said, "And it's also one of the things I love the most about you. Like, you're the person I want to invite to a dinner party. You're the person that I want to introduce to my friends. And I admire you that you share and that you can talk about your sobriety, but it's just not for me."
Yeah.
And so I also love that she, you know, we have a relationship where she can communicate that. I mean, especially because I was asking specifically.
Yeah.
But that she did say, like, "Since you started sharing about your sobriety, I've had friends come to me and be like, 'Wow, I didn't know Katie was such a drunk.'" And whoa. I was like, and I don't think anyone did that, right?
Yeah. Like,
I don't think
that's
maybe.
That's a fear of hers, because catty middle-aged moms is a thing, is a subgroup.
Yeah. And I was like, "Oh, well, what do you tell them?" And she's like, "Oh, I just tell them that you do, like, this is, like, part of, like, your health and fitness thing." Like, and I'm like, "Yeah." And I said, "Well, Mom, the only reason they're asking you that is because then they have to look at their own drinking, or, like, gives them the inclination to look at their own choices and compare themselves and project, just like we were just talking about. And she was like, yeah, you're right. You know, so it was a good conversation, but it's just interesting that, like, since I got sober, that has been my mom's biggest response to my sobriety. She's happy I'm happy. She absolutely loves me. But it is like, why is it such a big deal to you? Is kind of the vibe I get, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting that you brought that up, because I'm remembering now that my grandparents did something similar, where when they first heard that I wasn't drinking, they kind of pulled me aside and were like, we like know that you've had a really hard life and, you know, blah, blah, blah. But we didn't realize that things were that bad. And I'm like, I mean, they're not.
Yeah.
They were that bad for me to make me want to make a change. But it was hard to be like, oh, you guys don't have to, like, I don't want these two people
to you to feel bad for me.
Yeah, or these two people that, like, I really love and respect to think that I'm someone who has a problem, regardless of whether or not that's true, you know?
Yeah, and then, like, you don't want to add, it sounds like, also adding to the stigma behind people with, like, a problem. You know what I mean? It's like, it looks like me, like Kaylee Wolf. It looks like me, Katie Pelroy. Like, that is what addiction looks like. And that is what gray area drinking looks like. And it's just hard for people from different backgrounds and with different relationships with substance abuse and generations, right? To understand that. Like, sorority drinking is not a normal thing.
Yeah. It is interesting how different groups normalize certain things.
Yeah, it is interesting. But anyways, that's why we're here and sharing for No Shame November.
No Shame November. Bringing it back to No Shame November.
Yeah. So, okay, so you're talking about Thanksgiving.
Yes. So, Thanksgiving, family not being super supportive of my choice to not drink. Also going back home for the weekend of Thanksgiving, you know, that like Thursday through Saturday was always interesting, because for me, back when I was drinking, it was an excuse to hit friends up that I haven't seen in a while and go out to the bars and do the usual, like do another old school Bermuda triangle run. So, and sometimes you would run into people from your past who were also in town for Thanksgiving. So it was this weird reunion, almost like a weird high school reunion of just running into people that you may not necessarily want to run into. One time I saw my ex and it was super fucking weird. And yeah, people pop out of the woodwork.
Yeah, they do, dude.
And being drunk around those people and like, those are definitely the nights where I would wake up and be like, what the fuck did I, like, say to these people? Like,
I haven't seen in 8 years.
Yeah. I haven't seen this person in forever. And did I embarrass myself? And did I cry and apologize for being a bitch in high school? Or, like, what the fuck happened?
Oh, dude, I totally feel that. I know. I've moved a lot. And so I don't have any, like, childhood friends anymore. But I can relate, as I'm still in the same town as I was when, you know, we were drinking. So
yeah, for it sure. It is
interesting for sure.
So what were things like for you, Katie, for around Thanksgiving time when you were drinking still?
So there's a couple different stages with Thanksgiving. Basically 18 through 22, I was blackout on Thanksgiving. Or at least the night before. It's like a huge bar scene night. Yeah. That and like the night before Easter, right? So I don't know what it is, but they're drinking holidays. They're like, even booze sales is like the highest around certain holidays.
Every holiday. Yeah, a drinking holiday.
And so I would go out, and like at this time, it's a pretty rough time in my life looking back. I didn't really notice while it was happening.
Yeah.
But I was not doing well in school, and I was living in an apartment and I was in a relationship that it was pretty toxic and just what a weird time in my life. My dad was still using. My dad wasn't sober quite yet.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I moved here because when I was 19 or 18, I'm sorry, from Michigan because my grandma was diagnosed with cancer.
I didn't know that's why you moved.
Yeah, that's why I moved back. So she was diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer my senior year. And so when I graduated, I decided to come out here. And I was not ready to be that far away from my mom. I don't think I held down a job. I, you know, had this boyfriend who we were pretty crappy to each other, but I made some amazing friendships during that time. But my grandma was sick and my dad was using. And so I just didn't have a support system here.
And you mentioned that when you were younger, when you went back to live with your mom, that she was the one who kind of whipped your ass into shape a little bit.
And yeah, definitely. Yeah. She's a rock for sure. Like, and she would always give me good advice and tough love, but I mean, I needed it for sure. So, yeah. You know, and yeah. There's always stuff with your parents, but like, man, for the amount of tools that she had in her toolbox, she was litty. So being here without that part of my family and my sister and just that accountability, I just didn't really have a support system. So it was like Thanksgiving, and I'm like, okay, I on and off had a cell phone. Like, I was on a Cricket phone. If I didn't have any money, like, I wasn't receiving calls. You know, I had a Huawei, like, smartphone.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking weird time in my life. So anyways, around that time, I was drinking really heavily. My boyfriend worked at a liquor store. And so we were getting, you know, pretty trashed, and I would kind of show up to Thanksgivings, but when I did, I was always so hungover, and I was so withdrawn because I was afraid of my grandma dying. I just didn't know how to be there for her at 21, 20, you know?
Yeah.
And my dad was getting sober and was, like, in recovery and lived in a halfway house, and so I felt a lot of shame because I was drinking, I think, and I didn't even realize that really until we started talking about this episode. You know? So yeah, I just kind of like repressed a lot of the ways I was feeling during that time. That always kind of reflected in my relationship with Thanksgiving. I was always hungover. I wanted to drink. I had to drink to even be there because I felt like shit, you know, so I just needed a buzz. And it's sad because my aunt and uncle have always hosted Thanksgiving, and they are legit. They're like two of my favorite people and just such healthy role models in my life that I couldn't see then, but I can now. And they've had a huge impact on me. Their food is so good. They're like practically professional chefs. And yeah, so I always missed out on the food because I felt like garbage at Thanksgiving. And I didn't even show up. Or if I did, I would just be like, hi, bye. And just like take some leftovers with me.
Yeah.
But as I got older, it was, you know, Steve and I would make the rounds to his mom, to my dad's, because he got sober and was, you know, had his life together at that time and, you know, is still doing that. And then also my aunt and uncles, and then also our co-parents.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And so trying to juggle that was really hard. We were all over town on our one day off because we don't get delays in work after that. And so I was sure to drink a bottle of red over the course of the day. But I was never blackout. So Thanksgiving calmed down for me, but there still were not very good feelings around it.
Yeah. Well, it seems like a lot of obligation, right? And just stress of having to run all over the place.
Mm-hmm. And feeling like I'm not in control of my day. I really like to be the master of my day. And I don't accept that that's selfish because I think that that's what I need to do to be fully present with my family and myself. And so I'm pretty committed to that.
Yeah. It's important to set some boundaries. I definitely have family that have already been pushing my buttons for the upcoming holidays where I'm saying, you know, this is what we're doing. We're going to do Christmas Eve dinner, and then we're going to do breakfast for Christmas morning and then drive back home. And they're stuck on doing Christmas dinner. Like, oh, we thought it was Christmas. And it's hard to be like, no, we talked about this. Like, we're not.
Yeah. Yeah. Setting those boundaries is so important.
It's so hard, especially for people that I feel guilty not spending as much time with. And I used to have dinner with them every single Sunday, which was stressful, especially when I was going to school full time and working full time.
And drinking full time.
And drinking full time, dinner every Sunday. Every Sunday. And so I don't know. I recognize that they're not going to be here forever, and I want to spend as much time with them as possible. But I also have barely any time for myself as it is. And
right. Is this your first Thanksgiving sober? No, it's your second.
No, it's my second. And I feel a lot of guilt around this, but I fucking loved Thanksgiving last year. Like, Thanksgiving during COVID was amazing.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, wait, I don't agree.
Oh,
we'll get to that.
Okay, yeah, because it's my, yeah, so this will be my second sober Thanksgiving. And we did do a Friendsgiving. So we had a pod of six of us, two households, six people during COVID last year. So we did a Friendsgiving and it was really cute. It just felt like our chosen family and people that we've known for a really long time. So I felt super comfortable, but everyone else was still drinking. And that is something that's still a little hard. And yeah, it was really good. The food was awesome. I had so much fun, but just not having to go down and worry about driving and where I'm going to stay and all of that stuff was just such a huge relief. And then instead of being, you know, in Eugene for a weekend, we did that Friendsgiving, and then Danny and I just like watched movies and hung out in our pajamas and chilled, and it was awesome.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, that's rad. Steve and I are going to do that for sure. For sure, for sure. Like, I want to be in my pajamas most of the day.
Yeah, and you said that you're committing to just saying, like, we'll maybe stop by, but not any, like, solid commitments this year.
Exactly, exactly. Smart. Yeah, well, and so last year for COVID Thanksgiving, Steve and I made the decision to fly to Cabo for the week.
That's when you went. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so we were in Cabo for Thanksgiving, and that was a trip and a Thanksgiving experience that really affected my choice to get sober, actually, because I got sober a month and a half later.
Mexico is always, I've been to Mexico 3 times, and every time I've gone, I've been fucking wasted the entire time.
Dude. Yeah, man. And Steve and I had a great time at first. We were supposed to go with another friend and his partner, but our friend lost his passport, could not find it anywhere.
That sucks.
It does suck. And I felt a lot, I was really struggling with the traveling during COVID and trying to figure out if it was right for us. And like, I mean, it was November, so time had gone on and fuck, celebrities were just setting across the fucking globe.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, we just made the decision it was going to be best for us. It was a good choice, but I still had some feelings about that and some guilt around it. And yeah, we got robbed by the cops while we were there.
That is so fucked up.
So.
And so fucking terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, I was pretty hammed, so I don't remember at all. Yeah, I don't remember that at all. But Steve does, and essentially, they, like, accused us of buying drugs. We were not buying drugs. And they told us they needed to search us. They searched us, and they took $300 out of Steve's wallet and sent us on our way. So, yeah, dude, we were drunk terrorists. We were drunk tourists, and we're just like, you know, what did we expect? So, anyways, that was not fun. And then we came back and we had made some pretty, like, while we were there, we were around a couple of crowds and things like that. And so we decided that we would quarantine when we got back. So we didn't see Iris for a really long time. We came back early, actually, after getting robbed.
Yeah, so that makes sense. It kind of spoiled the trip a little bit.
Yeah, it just wasn't a great experience. And like, Steve and I just both were kind of like, let's not do that again. And so sober vacations with Steve have been really sweet since then.
Oh.
They're the best. I know. I really love it, actually. But so anyways, this is our turkey day. My first sober turkey day.
Katie, so this isn't Thanksgiving related, but it reminded me of how terrified I was when I heard that story, because Danny and I went to Mexico together the year before, December 2019.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I did buy drugs. And it was, looking back, the most dangerous thing I could have possibly done. Danny went to the bathroom. He was gone for 2 minutes. I was fucking wasted. And this guy walks by and he's saying, you know, white or green, white or green, white or green. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, fucking white, dude. I can get green at home. Yes. It was so bad. And then Danny comes out of the bathroom and sees me in this like random restaurant kitchen with all these huge dudes surrounding me and me getting all my money out. And he's like, what's going on? Like freaking out. And I'm like, it's fine. It's fine. I'm just giving them all this money for Coke. It's no big deal. He's like, what the fuck? So I give them literally like all the pesos I have on me for this tiny, tiny, tiny bag. And it was so, it freaked me out because it looked yellow. And I was like, I don't have any fentanyl strips with me. I can't test this. I don't know if this is safe.
Right.
And I did it anyway. And it just tasted like, it like felt like a cup of coffee. But I was like, I cannot believe I never really like, it's a new thing for me to think that drugs are dangerous because I always do them when I'm drunk and I always feel like...
Justified. I always felt justified in it.
I just always felt like everything was going to be fine. But now, like, as we're getting older and we're hearing about, like, fentanyl overdoses and things like that or just taking something that's not cut clean and just the fact that they could have totally, like, I don't know, involved the Mexican police, which is a really scary situation, or like it was just a really, really bad idea. And Danny was like, what the fuck? I went to the bathroom for like 2 minutes, and he should have, he deserved to be like way more mad at me.
he
let me off pretty easy, but it's just one of those things again of like coming back from that experience and being like, wow, I probably really should evaluate my
life choices,
my drinking, because I make horrible decisions when I'm drunk.
Dude, I have never, this is interesting, and people might not know this about me, I haven't done like recreational drugs in a long time. Once I became responsible for a little kid, I just like decided that, you know, very few and far between were there cases where I was, you know, doing something harder than marijuana.
Yeah.
Except for every time I did, I was always drinking. I have never used a drug sober, ever, my whole life.
Yeah.
Not like, I mean, I've never used a narcotic sober. Let's say that.
Yeah. I mean, I talked in one of our other recent episodes about how I was drunk and peer pressured to take Molly.
Mm-hmm.
And I have now, since I've been sober, been fine with using small doses of psychedelics as a tool.
Yeah, yes, I love that. I love all of the information studies coming out on that for PTSD and just depression, overall mental health. I think that's amazing.
100%. I'm super excited about the decriminalization of psilocybin, and I've seen a lot as someone who is clinically diagnosed as someone with depression. I think it has a lot of really exciting potential benefits when taken responsibly and taken in the right doses, right? So that's been a really cool thing that I've been playing around with. But even that has been a long time.
Right.
I would say like maybe once or twice in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty low key over here in terms of I'm not railing any white drugs.
Totally. Yeah. So Mexico, shit show.
Yes.
Drugs, alcohol. I do have a question for you.
Yes.
What's grandma making for turkey dinner, for Thanksgiving dinner?
Well, they are doing a turkey. They're doing a turkey breast from Market of Choice. So one of the things that I absolutely love about my grandparents is how passionate they are about not being wasteful and being sustainable and sourcing where they get their meat from and all of these things. So I love that about them. But also my favorite thing about Thanksgiving is having turkey leftovers to make turkey sandwiches with a fuck ton of mayonnaise the next day.
Yes.
And we don't get that with them. We don't get the leftovers. And they are very, very passionate cooks. They love cooking in the kitchen together. They have like a custom kitchen set up. It's amazing. But when they get the opportunity to cook for other people, they can sometimes see it as an opportunity to try new recipes. So sometimes I miss out on that traditional, like, I want the fucking green bean casserole with the canned green beans, with the Campbell's nasty ass looking chunky mushroom soup with the French's fried onions on top. Like,
right.
I want just a bowl of black olives.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Know? Steve is like a black olive, like, connoisseur. It's his favorite thing. And he'll talk to about them like they're fine wines. I fucking shit you not.
Yeah. I love olives. And
yeah,
the deviled eggs and the like plain ass white rolls with a bunch of butter on them. I like the trashy classics. I'm all about it. And my grandparents are too elevated and fancy for that. So
I love your grandparents.
I know.
I know. But yeah, dude, I was kind of raised, I've hopped around for Thanksgivings for forever. So I've been exposed to that. I do love a classic Thanksgiving. I'm a vegetarian though.
Mm-hmm.
So Steve and I, every year, I marinate a butternut squash, like stuffed tofurkey, like the Thanksgiving tofurkey you buy in the store. And I marinate it in like pineapple juice for like a day before. And then I like make all these vegetables, and Steve and I take our little squash tofurkey loaf to every place that we go. And because I'm not fucking missing out on eating that.
It travels. Yeah.
And so I always force every person there to try a bite too. And they fucking hate it every year. They fucking hate it. And I do it every year. And I don't give a shit.
I want to try it.
It's so good. It's so good. I like it though. So I'm definitely, I also always bring my own stovetop stuffing, because people fuck stuffing up. It should taste like croutons that have been soaked in vegetable broth and then baked.
Yeah.
That's what it should fucking taste like. And I don't want all of your weird shit in my stuffing.
What do people put in it? Do people put like raisins and shit in it?
Yeah, I feel really passionately about this. I don't want whatever bread you shoved in your turkey's ass to be eaten as stuffing.
No, I like the stovetop that comes from a box.
Yeah, same. So I bring my own cooked stuffing to every place I go, but not enough to share, only for myself. And then I also bring my own rosemary mushroom gravy that Ashley Brazil taught me how to make.
Oh, yeah, that shit's bomb.
Because everyone else has, like, a beef-based or chicken-based or turkey-based fucking gravy.
Yeah, and I don't know if they put chicken broth in the stuffing, too, but...
Yeah, that's why I make the vegetable broth one.
That's a good not an excuse, because you actually, like, have not eaten meat for a really long time, but to bring your own stuff.
Yes. Yeah. And I always, because they're always like, what can we make for Katie? What will she eat? And I'm like, you guys, don't even worry about that. Like, I like bringing my own food, and I like it if people want to ask to try it. So, you know, I kind of take it as an opportunity. I don't shame anyone for their turkey eating, but I am like, bitch, I'm not fucking doing that.
Yeah. Well, apparently I read that there's a turkey shortage this year.
What the fuck is that?
I don't even get it. It's so weird and gross when you think about, like, animal livestock as... It's something that's, like, on trucks that are being...
Yes.
You know, these frozen turkeys are being, like, transported. So having a shortage of drivers, having a shortage of, like, people, like, working at the, I don't know, the factory farms that... Mm-hmm. That's a whole other thing. But, yeah, so... There's a turkey shortage, and I don't know. It's just, it's crazy to be like, this turkey's going to be like $55 a pound, but it's this tradition that we do each year. I don't know.
That doesn't make any sense, but it's fine. I'm going to not, I don't even know what my opinion is on it. All I know is I really wanted to do a Thanksgiving 5K the following morning, but I have to work.
That's a really good motivation. To stay sober and not drink on Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
If you have to run a 5K.
Do you want to walk, jog the 5K with me the day after Thanksgiving that morning?
Yeah.
If I get it off, you'll do that with me?
Yeah. Yay! As long as I'm not, like, having to... I need to figure out what's going on with Danny, but yeah, I'll totally do that.
Oh, yeah. If we have him or not.
He'll probably literally drive home, like, the morning of Thanksgiving and be like, I'm done. Thank you. Goodbye. I would like to be home now. Like, that's fine. I'll see you later.
I always get a little homesick too around Thanksgiving, because I miss my mom and my sister and my little brothers. Yeah, I've got family spread out everywhere, so it's kind of, my mom makes every individual person at her Thanksgiving table their own Cornish game hen.
Holy shit, it's fancy.
Yeah, she is. She's a good cook. I miss her cooking. But so I'll just like swim in some mashed potatoes and then go to bed early. Sounds good to
me. Yeah. If you can't get a turkey because they're all sold out, just eat a bunch of mashed potatoes and take an Ambien. Mm-hmm. We'll do the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I've never taken Ambien.
Me either.
Oh,
I have heard no problem sleeping.
Me too. Samesies. Oh, I know. My heart aches for people who are new to sobriety that are like, I can't sleep at all. Like, what the fuck? Because I'm like, I lie and I say, me neither. But it's not true.
Fear sleeping like a baby. Honestly, though, there is nothing that feels better. And this sounds so, so stupid. And anyone who doesn't drink this Kool-Aid or live this life will be like, that's fucking bullshit. But doing a hard workout class, going home, taking a long ass, like, hot shower, putting the hair mask in, you know, doing the exfoliation, like, doing the whole thing, and then putting your, like, warm, cozy pajamas on, drinking a cup of tea, and going the fuck to bed. Like, it is amazing. It feels so good.
So good. Nothing, literally nothing better.
Yeah, so hopefully that's a phase. Yeah. Because I have heard that not drinking contributes to really good sleep because you can actually get into the REM cycle. Mm-hmm. You're not getting up to go pee as often, like, all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, like, alcohol decreases your sleeping ability. So
Thanksgiving is clearly a trying holiday for both of us. And Katie, I know you mentioned being a little bit more low commitment this year, but what are some things that you're going to do to make sure that you can have an enjoyable sober time, especially in a situation where most people around you are probably going to be drinking?
Yeah. So I am, like, saying a plan over everything else. So is what's going to, like, be effective for me. So I have made no commitments to anyone. Just, yeah, maybes. And what I'll do on Friday or on Wednesday before Thanksgiving is Steve and I will chat and we'll make a list of what we're going to do the next day and make sure we're both included on that, you know, so that I have an escape plan. Steve is my escape plan. Yes. So we're low committal to the people hosting, high committed to our boundaries and plan.
I love that. Danny and I have a system, a code, where if either of us want to leave somewhere, he asks me if my knee is hurting, or I'll tell him that my knee is hurting. Which, now that my knee surgery was
4 years ago,
what, four or 5 years ago, it still does and can hurt. So it's just an easy way to be like, oh, is your knee hurting? Yeah, I should probably go home, prop it up and ice it or whatever.
I love that. You guys are so cute.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that is, like, that's number one for me. And then even if I was single, even if Steve wasn't in my life, because I know a lot of you out here are like, cool, you have a sober partner and they're happy to help you with those things. I do not. Well, I think if you're a single person or someone with a partner who drinks, it's the same thing, you know? Like, yeah. Stay committed to your plan, and the plan should best serve and help reserve your own energy. Like, you need rest to even function on those days, especially if they're emotionally driven for you. So sticking to that plan takes out all the decision making as you go, and so you just really have more energy to reinforce, like, your choice to be sober or to be conscious of your drinking that day.
Yeah, I love that, and I think it's really important to set yourself up for success by having a plan, but also I think having things that you are excited about or thinking ahead to what are going to be the worst parts of this. What are things that I can do that will make me feel good while this is happening?
Yeah.
So, having Danny come with me to Thanksgiving is going to be awesome, just to have someone to share that with, take a little bit of the spotlight off me. He can drink and hang with the fam, and it, I don't know, just put some pressure off me a little bit. And then I was part of my original plan was to look into an Airbnb so that I have a place to decompress and be my true self in between family obligations. So just not having to constantly feel like I'm on or being witnessed, being perceived by my family members. So now I'm going to go to Katie's and have a sleepover. And I'm really excited about that.
Dude, that's going to be so much fun. And we're not going to be here all day on Friday either. Or at least unless I take that off for the marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Now we're running a marathon. Never mind. Let me move on here. I think that that's really important. I don't know what I would do if I've never had to, like, physically travel for the holidays. So, and when I have, it's been to my mom's, and, like, I have a room in the basement there that she makes for me, so I can do whatever I want. And I do feel my authentic self at my mom's house, but that's not the case here. So I'm really grateful that I'm closer to home and I'm not traveling, and it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah. My thoughts and prayers go out to
bless up
people who do have to travel on the holidays that probably felt like me, where they kind of got out of it last year. But plane tickets are so expensive. COVID is still a thing. Like, I really feel for people, because this is a time where it is really hard to stick to your guns or set boundaries with family members who expect you to be home for the holidays, right?
Totally. I was going to add to that, because we've talked about some different quotes and things a couple times in our podcast, and I really, like, love giving people something to refer back to, because, you know what, sharing, like, memes and shit helps me in my sobriety. I really enjoy it. Thank you, internet. But I think this applies to that, because I think, like, boundaries and, like, showing up as your authentic self is really important. And so I just read this the other day, Kaylee. It says,
okay, lay it on me.
Vulnerability isn't about telling everyone your entire life story. It's about showing up authentically and with boundaries, regardless of how others respond. And I think that that second line, like, showing up as your authentic self with boundaries, regardless of the response from your family, is huge and the best way to protect your mental health this Turkey Day.
And I would also say that doing the Thanksgiving you want, or the activity that you want, even if it's not on the exact day. So I planned a Friendsgiving. That's my chosen family. Those are the people I feel like I can be my authentic self around. I'm making that fucking green bean casserole with the bullshit canned green beans and the Campbell's mushroom soup, and it's gonna be great. So definitely reach out to folks in your life to see if you want to have a get together, or after Thanksgiving, like, what I get to do with Katie to decompress and talk shit about my family, even though I love them. Plan something for that, even if it's a phone call, you know, just with one of your friends.
Definitely. I think that that's such a great tip. I'm actually going, well, I'm already getting to apply that, but for Christmas, I'm going to try to do something like that too. I think we're going to try to take off for a few days after Christmas Day, just Steve, Iris, and I, and, like, get a cabin somewhere and just spend quality time together where we can be authentic after that experience with family.
That sounds fun. That sounds awesome.
Yeah. New traditions. Yeah.
Yeah. Make new traditions with your own family. And that can be those people in your life that you choose who love you and respect your boundaries.
Hashtag chosen family. Hashtag water is thicker than blood. I don't know. It's not how it goes.
No, but I love it. Okay, awesome. So yeah, remember that the holidays isn't a great time for everyone, so definitely be kind and reach out to folks in your life at this time, but also think about your boundaries and give yourself some grace as things are a little bit more stressful. Try and make a plan and do whatever the fuck you want as much as you can. Stick to your guns.
Yeah. Yep, 100%. I agree. I know that I'll be turning to meditation, 8 hours of sleep, eating food, exercise, and probably checking out Reframe over the holidays. So that's in my toolbox.
And those five things, when you hold them up, makes a turkey hand.
What is 2021? How is it almost 2022?
I don't know. It's gross. I don't have any concept of time. I don't know what's happening.
Samesies.